This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The tradition continues. World Championship Wrestling presents Wrestle War 92, War Games. A flip of the coin determines the balance of power in a cage where survival of the fittest is the only goal. Sting leads his squadron into battle against the maniacal forces of Pauly's dangerous alliance.
Pauly, be prepared to surrender!
The dangerous alliance would rather die than surrender to you.
One team will stand. One team will fall. In a match feared the world over. Destroy or be destroyed with Wrestle War 92.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode 4 of PTBN Pedestal. I am your host for this edition, Matt Souza. Thank you for joining me once again on this journey to determine the matches that belong on the wrestling pedestal, according to the fine folks at the Place to Be Nation. I will not do this show alone, just like last time. I cannot and will not do this show alone. And the panel from last time is back again for another go-around. First, Tim Capel. Hello, Tim.
Hello, I hope I redeemed myself on the last episode of this fine program. Thank you for having me again.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, sir. Next, Ben Locke. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Matt. Good evening. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good, considering we're recording this at like 20 to 3 in the morning. I'm okay.
Mm. Wow, my goodness. Coffee and tea running through your veins, energy drinks.
Oh.
Some of that bang just, energy.
Just cope. We don't do the energy drinks, you know, just doesn't float my boat at this time of night.
no four locos across the pond. I get it. I understand. Finally, Logan Crosland. Hello, Logan.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Oh, doing just great. How about you, sir?
I'd say I have a toxic attraction to my thoughts on the last match that we watched.
So oh.
The last episode.
My goodness.
The last episode revealed parts of myself that I'm not proud of, so.
Well, it was your fault that the match made the pedestal. I mean, I'm just going to come out and say it. It was your doing, so.
It kind of was.
The only person you have to blame is yourself, sir, so. But great to talk to you guys as always. So for the first time here on PTBN Pedestal, we are going to be diving into the land of World Championship Wrestling. Perhaps you guys have heard of it. And we are going to be looking at a match that is considered by many to be one of the best matches in WCW history. We will see if that holds true as we will discuss. And we will go to 1992. And the pay-per-view known as Wrestle War. And of course, when you hear Wrestle War 92, there's only one match we could possibly be talking about. And that is, of course, the War Games match between Sting's squadron, which was Sting, Nikita Koloff, Ricky Steamboat, Dustin Rhodes, and Barry Windham, as they took on the Dangerous Alliance, which was the team of Rick Rude, Larry Zbysko, Steve Austin, Arn Anderson, and Bobby Eaton. Let's briefly talk about the build here. And the build for this, to be perfectly honest, is quite long. It's very long. This Wrestle War 92 show took place in May of 1992. And we were discussing this a few days ago in our show chat that really you could say that this build started all the way back in October 91 with Rick Rude's debut as the Halloween Phantom and Zbysko crushing Barry Windham's arm in the chair, hence getting, again, the nickname The Crusher, of course. But, you know, just some of the big bullet points of this feud is, you know, Nikita Koloff joining up with Sting after they had their long rivalry in 1991, Sting and Lex Luger trading the U.S. title, They have that match at the, I want to say it's the November 91 Clash of Champions. They have a match where Rude wins the title in like 5 minutes after a Sting injury. And then, of course, you have Sting beating that slug shit Lex Luger in the main event of Super Brawl 2.
Well,
which, I'm sorry, shit, was I injecting my personal feelings into this? I do apologize. at Super Brawl 2, he was a slug shit. There. Do we all agree on that? Oof! Serious podcast. I do apologize. So we have that. And then we have, you know, not really tied to the feud, but you also have Vader breaking Sting's ribs at one point. And it really, it's just, it's a culmination of all these feuds that have been going on for 8 months between the Dangerous Alliance and Sting and his buddies. And there's a whole lot to this build. I think personally, the build to this is great. And it's an, you know, another build where, it, like, again, you see this match on paper, sort of like when we talked about Brock and Punk on the last episode, where it's a, I don't want to say it's a basic build, but it's a build that, you know, you look at this match on paper, this match doesn't need a build. Just look at the 10 guys in this match, and it's like, all right, you could literally do nothing, and you're going to get a great match out of it. So, but let's go around the horn here and give our thoughts and our ratings on the build. We will start with Tim.
Yeah, like I talked about on our last episode, this is sort of a, I guess, a hedge category for me, just in the sense that it's not the be-all, end-all. It's only going to help a match that's maybe on the line get into that pedestal category, or if the match is pretty good but has a extraordinarily weak build, could hold it back. So, you know, I can't say I was a dedicated WCW fan and viewer in 1992. It's also rather difficult to watch WCW programming in an episodic fashion these days, even with all the resources we have. Like, all those, like, think of all the syndicated shows that, you know, they're not available on Peacock. They can be hard to find even through illicit means. So it's really kind of the Saturday nights that I think a lot of us would have been watching if we were getting well versed in or a refresher in the build for this match. I feel like you could probably tie it back even to, like, you know, Halloween Havoc with Wyndham getting his arm broken by the Cruncher.
The Cruncher, yes, of this, of course.
Yeah. And of course, that's where the, you know, the Halloween Phantom, Rick Rude debut. So maybe you could, if you want like a starting point, I would maybe do Havoc up to the show and call that the the build. And it's really, you're going to get the formation of the Dangerous Alliance. So you're really not going to miss anything going from that stretch of time. But it is kind of a rather disjointed program here. It's not a, it's not really a coherent feud of, you know, you do have the faction, but it's not like they're taking on this actual dedicated team, you know. As a lot of war games go. So I mean, in terms of build, it's, you know, it's not the greatest, but it also doesn't really need one. There's a lot of individual feuds that are baked into this, and that's the kind of thing you probably want to see in a War Games. So I would go, let's give it probably a 3.
All right. We will go 3 for Tim. Logan, let's go to you. Give me your thoughts on the build and give me a rating.
Yeah, I'd probably go, I'd probably go 3.5. I thought it was pretty well strung together. Barry Windham and Steve Austin have a couple of good matches on Saturday night. You know, as I wasn't born when this match happened, I can't really go back to that time period and, you know, have like live thoughts or anything like that. So, I watched all the Saturday nights kind of leaning up from when it started to kind of up to this pay-per-view and kind of tried to get most of it. And somehow, despite your best efforts, Matt, you picked two feuds that are completely centered around Paul Heyman. So well done, even though I know you totally didn't do that on purpose, did you?
What are you talking about? It was all part of my plan.
The only reason I wouldn't go higher is because Sting is just kind of in this match. I know he had stuff with the Dangerous Alliance kind of further back, but from all the stuff that I watched, he's mostly in there with Vader, and Vader injures him pretty much straight into the Saturday night viewings. And then Nikita's just kind of in there as Sting's buddy. So, like, it's really a lot of Steamboat and Rude. Barry Windham and Dustin have some tag matches with Eaton, Arn, and Zabisco. But it's a lot of Barry Windham just hates Pauly Dangerously. Rhodes just kind of hates Pauly Dangerously. So Steamboat has a personal problem with Rude, but he also just hates Pauly at the same time as well. But yeah, Paul does a really good job kind of really bothering them and kind of getting under their skin. But like I said, a couple of the matches that are along the way were pretty solid that I watched. But you know, yeah, like I said, Sting's involvement once it gets to that point is kind of, he's kind of a tertiary member of this, but I know the match won't disappoint as I've seen it a few times before, and I'm looking forward to watching it again with you guys.
All right, and you said 3.5 for that rating, correct?
Correct.
All right, 3.5.
Right down the middle.
All right, Ben, let's go to you. Give me your thoughts on the build and the rating, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to sort of go back to what you said, Matt. I mean, just look at the talent level you've got. Just these 10 men, just those names you read out, just the talent level is insane for this. And I will agree with you both where you say it started in October with the Halloween Phantom and then the Cruncher. But, you know, genuinely one of my favorite moments in all of WCW happens a month later when Ricky Steamboat makes his return in the dragon suit, and Arn Anderson, you know, does that immortal line, he's not a dragon, he's just a man.
Is that, no, not Arn, Ricky Steamboat.
No, Arn, it's Ricky fucking Steamboat. Get your facts right. but yeah, the actual, like Logan said, like Sting and Nikita aren't really involved in this till pretty near the end, but just like I say, the talent level involved, the Dangerous Lions are genuinely my favorite heel faction of all time. I know people will go on about the NWO and DX and Evolution, but the Dangerous Alliance are right up there. And if they'd have had a longer run, which we'll get into, they'd be a lot more fondly remembered than they are than just us hardcore wrestling fans, let's say. I will go 3.5 on the bill because, like I say, a couple of the members of the Sting team in particular weren't involved until the very end.
All right. And I will go 3.5 on the build as well. Again, you know, like I already mentioned, and Ben just mentioned it again, you look at who's in this, you didn't need a build at all. You literally could have just thrown these guys out there and you knew the match was going to be fucking incredible. So you could have literally just announced the match, done nothing, and then 4 weeks later have the match, and it still would have been the same to me. So, with all that being said, it is now time for the watching of said match here. Of course, you can find this match on the Peacock Machine, Wrestle War 1992, as per mentioned before. The timestamp for this match, because there's no chapters, unlike some people in here who do have chapters on their wrestling watching devices. Ben, goddamn UK, still having the network. We are paused at 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 15 seconds if you wish to watch along with us. If everybody is ready, we will hit play on 3. Is everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Ready. All right. Let's do the countdown and hit play in 3, 2, 1.
I'm personally disappointed we're not watching Super Invader versus Todd Champion from this show.
Yeah, you know, maybe in a in a future episode.
I was going to say, on my chapters, I've got Ricky Morton versus Big Josh just sitting there.
Well, that sounds all right. It sounds better than Todd Champion versus Super Fucker or whatever you said.
Wow.
I mean, look at this lineup. Just how magnificent.
Mm-hmm. It is quite something. It is a who's who of wrestling talent, as the old cliche goes.
I mean, when Zabisco is your weakest member?
Well, yeah, it's Zabisco.
I said when Zabisco is used to remember. I wasn't saying is.
Oh, I thought you said is. Sorry.
What do you mean I'm the weakest member of the team?
Sir.
Now Dustin Rhodes is about to come out here. Logan, have you got something to say when Dustin comes out?
They call him the natural!
Natural.
Natural as can be!
And he's the son of a what?
He's the son of a son!
Oh, son of a son.
And son of a son!
Oh.
Ah! Oh, my goodness. Sting's Squadron. Look at that. My goodness.
That denim jacket monstrosity.
An amazing collection of talent on the face side, plus Nikita Koloff.
Nikita now from Lithuania.
Oh. Yeah. I think that nose thing that Steamboat is wearing is a better wrestler than Todd Champion.
Mm. And that is a result of his face getting smashed into the concrete. So,
mm-hmm.
The build for sure.
Who can forget Paulie Dangerously dressed as the ninja at Super Brawl 2, costing Ricky Steamboat the match against Rick Rude?
Who indeed?
Boy, yeah, that cage is flimsy as all hell.
Yeah.
God, that ceiling is about to concave.
Hopefully they raise the ceiling so that nobody gets concussed again like last year with Pillman.
I love this with them. With them all reading the tactic sheet.
Yeah,
well, it gives it
nice,
a sense of realism.
Nice touch.
To it. It's awesome. Uh-huh.
God damn it, Sid! I told you not to powerbomb me. This roof was too low. Drop me right on my head.
So Logan, you were not born when this match happened, correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
This was 2 days before my first birthday.
Oh, good God!
Okay. Well.
You're 363 days old.
Ben and myself will try to walk you through it.
I will say I was only about 25 when I saw this match for the first time, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we didn't get pay-per-views in 92, so you know it was a case of watching it after the fact on YouTube.
I think that's how I started.
I'd start here with Wyndham and Austin.
Yeah, they had two really good 2 out of 3 fall matches on Saturday night before this. Yeah. And I think
one of which you can hear about on the award-winning podcast right here on Place Me Nation Wrestling. That's Talking WCW.
Mm.
Covered the second of the two matches, in fact.
Yeah, now, he wins another, the TV title.
This is another is question, man. Is this Barry's last great year in 92?
No, it's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, he has some good stuff in 93, but it's not much.
Yeah, I mean, he wins the world title in 93, but I don't think it's good, per se.
I really like the match he has with Arn Anderson at Slamboree 93.
Mm, yeah.
It's like a fun 10-minute sprint for the world title.
Oh, Barry's feet just touched the roof.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus.
Not a good sign. We've notably got Steve Austin here in his Mike and Ike tights.
His children's poster board lettering tights.
Yeah, those look like the kindergarten project tights that Ruth wears in TNA. So, Bobby Roode, that is not Rick.
Yes, Rick Roode was dead when TNA started.
Very true.
Probably
that's true.
WCW face.
Oh yes, it was true. Nice DDT.
God, those punches Wyndham is throwing. Good Lord.
Christ almighty.
Yeah.
Austin with hair just wigs me out. Every time.
You see, he was stunning at this point.
I will say this, and I don't know if Tim was the same. Like, I was watching, we had Worldwide, and even at that point, I could tell Steve Austin was going to be absolutely huge. I obviously didn't think he was going to be as huge as he was, but even at that point in 92, 93, I could see what this guy was all about.
Yeah. So when did you start getting pay-per-view over there, Ben?
Okay, so this is going to sound wrong. So we got pay-per-view on, we basically, our satellite systems over here, we got a variety of channels from a variety of countries, and one of the countries was from Germany, was one of the channels from Germany, which is a German sports channel. So you got the pay-per-views about, you got a pay-per-views about 3-4 weeks after the fact. But obviously this was before the internet, so you didn't know what was going on really.
Jeez.
I will say Wise to open with Wyndham and Austin here again after they had their two pretty stellar matches, two stellar TV matches on Saturday night. You know, they're workhorses, they can go. I mean, maybe you do. I mean, God, everybody in this match is a workhorse, honestly.
Right.
But,
you could have started with anybody.
You want to say, you want to save like Sting, for example, right? But
yeah.
On that face side, could, like a Steamboat or a Wyndham would make sense as a guy to start.
Right.
You could have started with Wyndham Rhodes or Steamboat. It would have been the same result.
And I think you probably could have started with Austin or Arn, but I think it definitely needed to be one of those two guys.
Yeah, Arn would make sense too.
Even Bobby, I think you could have started with too.
Yeah.
I feel like I should do some research, but I feel like Arn starts pretty much every War Games match he's in. Apart from this one, obviously.
Yeah. That's kind of why I said him, because, you know, he can work with pretty much anybody, and I feel like that's kind of his, like, role, it seems.
Austin already cut open.
Already, as I say, already bleeding like a pig.
I mean, he's the only two like you want to save are Sting and Rude, really. Like, they have, you know, kind of, they're kind of your cleanup guys for the match beyond, right?
Right.
But other than that, there's a lot of combinations. Lord. A lot of combinations that would work in this match. Hard to go wrong. I mean, hard to go wrong with any War Games, but with this collection of talent, it's just...
Well, I mean, you could definitely go wrong with War Games.
They've managed 98. It. They've certainly managed it somehow, yes.
Even 2093!
Oh, God, yes. Randy Anderson very quickly there covering the coin center when you can see what it actually landed on.
Yeah, yes.
Hey, the heels won, you guys.
Love that.
Oh, Rude in next. Look at that.
I'm just thinking, I'm not Ricky Rude.
Rude uber tanned up as always.
Yeah. Was this before Rude had the greatest entrance theme of all time? This was like right before that, right?
Right before.
Still early, yes. Yeah, so
ravishing. Ow!
He's probably got, he's still got Black Cat.
Brady Boone singing.
Which is not bad either.
Right.
Isn't he Black Cat?
Brady Boone. Jesus Christ. You are the only man to mention Brady Boone in 2021. Congratulations.
When you say Black Cat, I just imagine a Black Cat is just meowing as he comes to the ring.
Well, I feel that would be the gimmick.
Yes.
You know, that cage's roof is still dangerously low. It's not as low as last year, as the year before. Right.
Yeah. It's a challenge, Austin, yeah.
It's a lot.
Austin had a lot of trouble that before he did the clothesline.
Ooh! Well, the year before, let's put this 6'9" guy inside this 7-foot cage and hope he doesn't kill anyone.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, somebody almost died. Right. Sounds weird. Right. Not some of Rude's best tights here, I won't lie.
No.
Yeah.
Steamboat giving away that he's in next.
Well, there's so many other bodies in this match, the tights aren't exactly the focus.
Austin is a bloody mess.
He sure is. He just has a random eyeball on his ass. On the ass of the tights.
The Mike and Ike tights, yeah.
Comes Steamboat.
Here we go.
And if you didn't know Nikita was from Lithuania, he has their flag on the back of his singlet.
Oh.
So, on the topic of bias.
Oh, my God.
As Steamboat cleans house here. I will say I've never had the attachment to like the Dangerous Alliance as a faction the way a lot of people I think my age do, just because I wasn't watching them at the time. I think it's a really cool collection of singles heels, basically, who are awesome in their old right. And with Paul E as the glue sort of makes it work. But beyond that, I don't have a lot of, you know, personal nostalgia for them as a group. Yeah, they were, if anything, probably too short lived. And I don't know. I also have this sense of, oh, War Games isn't really okay. A WCW War Games isn't really a War Games without the Horsemen. So as much as I think the Dangerous Alliance are a really cool collection of dudes, they're still not the Horsemen. So all that is to say, I've never been probably as high on this match as other people who, I mean, you talk to a lot of WCW fans and they say this is the best match in promotion history. So that's not an unusual view, but not one that I think I've ever shared.
Well, on the flip side, I would be one of those people who say that for me, not to spoil anything, but this has always been a five-star match for me. So I'm curious to see if I feel the same way after watching it here.
Oh,
and it's for me at the very, it may change for me, but at the very least, it's like top three WCW match in history.
I went number four when I ranked it.
Oh my God. Oh, that is better than an Arn Spinebuster.
Yeah. Arn coming in with the DDT and Spinebuster. That's
the white tights, the brainbuster tights.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
On
Steamboat's tights are awful in this match, too.
Yeah, they are.
It looks like a fucking Christmas decoration.
Well, as we're recording this, 'tis the season.
Great. No, Barry, no, Matt, no, Matt, it's past. It's New Year's.
Yeah, Matt.
It's like January 3rd. It's fine.
Yeah, but it's past Christmas.
Look, my decorations are still up, so...
That's just because you're too lazy to put them up. Put them down, even.
I don't take them down till like January 10th anyway. It's fine.
Nice pile driver from Rube there.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, man. He's going to need a wrap for his neck along with his nose. What is Rude's tights? Please, someone tell me.
They look like newspaper clippings, honestly.
Steamboat got launched. They're also too close to his actual skin tone, which is it.
Rude with his fucking Eye of Sauron tights going on there.
Yeah.
And here comes
the all-seeing eye.
Well, it makes sense because that eye's on the brown eye, so you know.
Oh God!
It's very fitting. Well, I'm just describing what I'm watching.
Though
the mat in this match is not as disgusting as the Memphis match y'all watched on the last
no
roulette.
It's no,
this mat is pretty gross looking.
There's no mushrooms and fur growing out of this match. This mat. So.
Oh, Austin hitting the rock.
Oh man. Oh. Austin is getting the shit kicked out of him.
He hit the middle plate on that.
Jesus Christ. Goddamn, pal, my fucking head.
If you want to know where my neck issue started, it's with fucking Dustin Rhodes smashed my head on the steel plate of the War Game.
I ain't got the trauma yet, but goddamn, it's coming soon.
Submissions don't count yet, Ricky. Come on, man.
Oh God!
Oh, still making Jesus suffer. Christ! As we have Wyndham driving Arn. Oh, that's why Arn had the neck problems.
This is the root of a lot of neck problems. Yeah, I feel
really good. Lord, that's why Arn can't feel his fingertips in '97. Very good. Christ.
I mean, at least, I mean, NXT have now put the two rings together, so you don't get that spot anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they put like the diamond plate in between it, so that
you just get Panama Sunrises on a steel
plate. Yeah. You'll get Panama Sunrise this year.
No. No, Adam Cole is busy being in AEW, you see.
I do kind of enjoy these submissions when the guy doesn't even have the option to submit. Mm-hmm. It's just such a dick move.
Yep. All right, let's get Larry in here.
Oh, a cruncher.
I'm going to crunch you in another card, are you, son of a...
Ooh, almost an upskirt shot of Medusa there.
When she's wearing shorts.
Now, Matt, I was just... People who are visually seeing it, I was just trying to get them excited.
Oh, I see.
Tony Schiavone was definitely excited at that point.
Now, would you want to walk on top of that cage?
No.
Hell no.
I mean, look, you can already see it indenting in.
That seems unspeakably dangerous.
I mean, they wouldn't have that far to fall, bless them.
That makes Taker and the cage that Taker and Mankind walked on look like flat, normal ground.
Yeah.
Good God.
Good God. Good God Almighty. Sting fell through the roof.
As God is my witness, she's broken in half.
The deuce has been dropped. Through the cage.
My goodness. Oh, that cage is really off center. What, did someone get like thrown into it? Or? Oh God, yeah, Barry is a fucking mess.
It's probably the same one from last year. They've just done nothing to it.
Jesus.
Klondike Bill, and you've just been hoping it works.
Oh, yeah. Spit and bubblegum. Yeah,
Pillman almost got permanently paralyzed. We're not going to make any adjustments.
Yeah. He'll be fine.
You got a little splatter of blood on the camera as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Here comes the man called Sting.
It's Sting!
Imagine having these guys, and Nikita and Bobby are the last two to come in.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That's such a... Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel like they started off with the right guys, but
I mean,
Rude coming in second for the heels is... kind of fucked. Nikita
and Sting's going to come in fourth. Just make him come in fifth, you know?
Yeah. I half get the Nikita one just because, like, Sting and Nikita have feuded before, so they could do the thing where is Nikita going to be with Sting or is he going to turn, like, that type of thing. But, yeah, it's interesting.
I don't think it's worth blowing your pot.
You can also check him whenever he comes in.
Look at
Arn's
face now.
Oh, God.
And the other thing watching this now, it's still crazy to me. Like, this match is nearly 30 years old now. And this match is nearly 30 years old now. And two of these guys in it are still wrestling semi regularly.
Mm. Yeah, really.
And we can all agree Larry Zbyszko should be.
Take it to Larry Land.
So who we got in the Blood Club at the moment? We've got Arn.
Oh, God. What the...
Jesus.
Windham.
There's the start of Rude's back injuries.
Yeah, really. Yeah, Windham, Austin, I think Arn is busted.
Larry,
I think it'd be easier to name who's not bleeding.
Yeah. To be fair now.
At this point.
now they've wedged Rude in the middle of the ring.
Good Lord.
This.
Like, I'm making a wish at the same time.
Yeah, they're trying to. Yeah.
I do love Bobby Eaton, though, but he's not the guy that should have come in last.
No.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
He's definitely a second or a third guy in a five-man match.
And the crowd goes mild.
Oh my God, Dustin is needs a bandage. Holy hell. Oh God, so does Barry. Holy shit.
Arn's gushing pretty bad too.
Good Lord.
They've all been taking the aspirin before this match. Good God.
They all popped Coumadin before they went in there.
Coumadin, yes.
Coumadin.
Oh my God, the top rope is collapsing. Jesus.
That's been a foreshadowing.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I didn't know he was adjusting it as I said that.
Yeah, I'm just going to take the turnbuckle off here.
Gotta take it.
Yes, Tim?
The turnbuckle up here. What the? Just... What the?
I really enjoyed Zbyszko calling the action there.
I'm also,
he narrates his whole life. You didn't know that? He narrates his whole life.
I'm also a big fan of the clock doing the tenths of a second as well.
Like, really?
Yeah, really.
We needed that. You have to be picture perfect in these war games.
Matt, I love that your Larry sounds exactly like Fozzie Bear from Muppets.
So, boys, what is the worst War Games match? 93 or 98?
98, hands down.
93.
Not even close. No, no.
93 has the Shockmaster in it. Awful.
98 has Stevie Ray and the Warrior. In 1998.
Well, it's also...
You need to watch the 93 one again.
I think you need to watch 98. That's what I'm hearing.
All right.
Anti-pedestal.
We'll watch that one and I'll watch 98. So.
All right. I think we have our next episodes of Pedestal.
That'll be a pedestal of shit, though.
Ah, here we go.
Here comes the key to soon. PTB and track.
Here comes the key to stick. Handshake and showdown.
God, who cares? Down. I hate face Nikita Koloff so much.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. But look, he's representing Lithuania. The Lithuanian people care.
PTB and toilet bowl coming to you soon.
Isn't that just chicken salad?
Oh wait, that's chicken salad.
Yeah.
Don't give a game away.
Sorry.
Oh my God, Steve.
Jeez.
Some windmill punches.
Hi-ya.
Hell after punches.
Undoing the turnbuckle again.
Those cages are just unbelievably just not right.
Like, it looks like a swift breeze would tip them over.
It really does.
Oh, God.
Oh, Arn's dead. Oh, God.
I don't know. Would you want to take a stinger splash on a ring that's being torn apart like that? Probably a bad move.
Very gingerly, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my turnbuckle is in my kidney. Well, this is bad. All right, the buckle is off. This match is moving at an insane pace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are already up to the finish here. Coming soon.
The loaded gun is ready.
Good Lord.
Don't climb to the top rope, Arn.
I know. Come on,
yeah,
Arn.
Please. Just like Flair, you don't do that. Oh my God, Austin.
God, Austin.
Jesus Christ. Fuck.
He might get one of those CM Punk staff infections. Just
hepatitis games.
Yeah, I'm Steve.
Hepatitis games. There's a lot happening here. My Lord.
And son of a gun.
Yeah, it's like impossible to
Yeah.
really call.
Oh my God.
Oh, Dustin.
Holy shit.
That was almost as bad as that elbow drop earlier. What the fuck was that?
Mm. Well, I mean, he couldn't jump because the cage was right there. At least he has an excuse.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Bobby Eaton gets the turnbuckle ready.
Ah, don't trip me with the fucking rope.
Oh!
Stupid idiot, Zbysko.
He crushed his shoulder, crunched his shoulder.
Fuck you, Larry.
Fuck you, Larry.
I always feel this match could have a slightly better submission move than the armbar to finish it. Though.
Well,
see, I was just going to say, I mean, whoa, Bill Alfonso.
Yep.
Where's his whistle? I get what you're saying, but like, I don't know. He just took a fucking metal beam right to the arm. So I kind of get why he would submit to like anything.
To be fair, that's just with my modern eye seeing it. That's the only reason.
I get what you're saying, but like it never really bugged me all that much just because he just took a fucking metal pipe to the arm.
I didn't mean to hit him with that pipe. What are you talking about?
Meanwhile, dissension within the ranks here.
And they had like kind of teased Larry leaving the Dangerous Alliance before this as well. So this is just kind of building off of that because they had like a dust up after Saturday night. Or something to that effect.
And I feel like the Dangerous, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like the Dangerous Alliance, they're around for a little bit, but don't they just kind of like flame out, if memory serves? Mm. Like there's never real, like this was almost like the blow off for the Dangerous Alliance kind of thing.
Well,
right?
unfortunately, Bill Watts happens.
Right.
Yeah. They do make it to the next pay-per-view. They make it to Beach Blast.
Right.
Because that's where the Rude and Steamboat have the Iron Man match. So
right,
I know,
the Iron Man.
Sean Kidd loves. And then Dustin Berry and Nikita face Orange, Austin, and Eaton. So so they last a little bit longer, I think. But I think they're mostly done at this point.
Right. For all intents and purposes, this was the end of the Dangerous Alliance. So pour one out for the Dangerous Alliance.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, we have now watched the match, so we can now properly rate the match. Let's go ahead and start with Logan. Logan, give me your thoughts on the match. Give me a star rating.
I mean, it cuts an unreal pace. All the guys in it, like we've said, are all really good. Are really good to great. Like I said, it just cuts an incredible pace. It's got all the guys in it that are awesome. They all do great work. There's blood. There's all kinds of crazy shit that they do. They dunk the guys in between the two rings at certain points, which was kind of a funny, cool little funny spot. I do agree that the armbar is kind of a weak way to finish it, but I do understand that he just got blasted with a metal ring rope holder. So I'll stick with what I gave the Punk Brock match. I'll go 4.5.
All right. 4.5 from Logan. Ben, give me your thoughts.
Yeah. Watching it again, the thing that I take away from it is just the pace, the balls to the wall pace that they use for this match is unreal. And there's so much blood. It just is. You can just feel the hatred. The hatred's palpable. And like I say, the submission, it's a bit weak, but I get what you say, Matt. Yeah, you know, you've just been hit with a metal bit of a ring post. Damn right an armbar's going to do it. I totally understand that. I went, like I said before, I went 5 on the match, this match, the last time I watched it, and I can see nothing here that's going to change my mind. So I'll stick with 5.
All right. A 5 from Ben. Tim, how about you? Give me your thoughts.
So it's a really gross match. No, it doesn't skimp on the violence at all. So we might be missing the horsemen, but we ain't missing the blood. Like it's every bit like an 80s war games match when you think of this gimmick really in its heyday. So it's gross. It's nasty. It's what you want in a war games, and definitely cuts an awesome pace. It's not boring at any point. Really easy match to watch. I think what holds it back for me are just the little things, you know, that's what's going to hold back any match from being five stars. It's like, well, you know, you sort of have to nitpick when you get down to this kind of level of greatness. Mm-hmm. And the things that do hold it back for me are just sort of, I don't know, the way that it's put together in terms of the entrances, I think is really wonky. I don't know why. Again, you don't save Sting for last. And I don't think the intrigue surrounding Nikita Koloff and whether or not he and Sting can cooperate, I don't think that's worth preserving the pop you would have gotten for a Sting entrance. As it is, the crowd kind of deflates when, you know, Nikita's the last guy to get in there. He's also just such a slug. Like, I just, when you look at the weak links on the team, I'm like, man, what was Pillman doing at this point? What was,
right.
Just get anybody else from the just that strong face roster that you had in 92 WCW to replace Nikita. He sucks so much. And like the cage itself feels, we talked about how rickety it is, but in a way that normally I like that kind of thing, but I think in this type of match, it takes away from it because it makes it feel cheap to me, mm-hmm. rather than just kind of grisly. And sometimes that can enhance a match, but here I just think it's unbecoming of a big time match like this. I want to see a cage that can really hold up to the action and it isn't threatening to fall down at any given moment. I don't know. That's always bothered me. And then finally, points off for, I'm sorry, I hate the finish. I have always hated this finish. Mm. Not that it isn't believable. Yeah, you get slammed in the shoulder with a metal rod, a steel rod. It's going to be curtains for you in any submission hold, sure. But I just think they shouldn't have done the spot. It's just a dumb, shitty, cheap way to end this kind of match. So with a stronger finish, leave Nikita out of it and just better, a better order of entrances, I could see going five stars on this. But as it stands, just doesn't get there for me. I'll go, again, same as the last episode where we talked Brock and Punk, 4.5 stars for me.
All right. 4.5 from Tim. Like I said, while watching the match, I have always been a five-star match. That has always been a five-star match for me. Watching it here again really didn't change my mind any. I'm going five on this. I get all the points that you guys were making, but for me, what really puts it over the top for me is it's really the pace. Like, they just fucking go for, you know, 25 minutes or however long the match is, and it's non-stop, whether there's two guys in there or 10 guys in there. And you know, I don't hate the finish. I like the finish. Could they have done a different arm submission hold to end it? Sure. But, you know, it never really bugged me that they do what they did, given what had happened beforehand. And, you know, I said it before, for me, this is at a minimum top three WCW match of all time. There's a couple other ones I immediately think of that would be right up there with it. But this is certainly, at the very least, in the conversation for me for best WCW match of all time. So I am going five for all of those reasons. Let's get into the historical significance. And I think it scores pretty highly here just because of, one, who's in the match. We've said it multiple times. I'll say it again. It is a who's who of top wrestling talent and all-time greats in this match. And I think that means a lot. And, you know, we've mentioned again, it's considered to be one of the best matches in WCW history. And I think you can't discount those things. And, you know, the knock I could see against it is, you know, if it was looked at as like the official blow off to the Dangerous Alliance, I could see it ranking a little more higher in this regard, because, you know, the Dangerous Alliance just kind of flames out, like we mentioned. But I would still rank it fairly high in this category. But let's go around the dais again. Let's start with Ben. Ben, give me your thoughts on where this is historical significance wise.
I think it's, like you say, I think it's got to be pretty high up there, because it's just, it's the talent level involved, and the fact that we're even talking about it nearly 30 years on, and, you know, it would still hold up today. You'd put this on Impact, you'd put this on AEW, you'd put this on WWE. You'd be watching this, and you'd be loving it all over again. It will knock a little bit off of me, because, like, you know, the Dangerous Line doesn't end with a thud, it ends with a whimper, sadly. Mm-hmm. I will go 4.25 on it, because, like I say, just the talent level involved, and more importantly, like, the fact that you could say for, you know, 90% of the guys in this match, this is their best match. You know, there's only going to be a couple mm-hmm. of them who could maybe, you know, say they've got a match better than this, and yeah.
Right.
I still love it. I always will, always do. Yeah, 4.25 seems fair.
All right, 4.25 from Ben. Tim, how about you? What do you think?
So this is tough, because I sort of don't think any WCW match in terms of historical significance is maybe higher than a 4, only because it's a promotion that's been dead for over 20 years, and its history being rewritten by the winner of that war for... you know, even longer, really. So while yes, it's an extremely historically significant match to wrestling fans and to WCW fans, and I guess people who even remember WCW, but I think we have to keep in mind we're kind of a minority, and mm-hmm. when you zoom out and look at it big picture wise, you know, just within the context of wrestling as a whole and, like, all of pop culture, and even to WCW, when WCW was on a hot streak, I don't think even WCW, like, considered this all that great of a match. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, you never mm-hmm. – it didn't get talked about a lot within even – the annals of their own history. Like, think about when they would do, like, the WCW all-nighter, and they'd play, like, their greatest right. hits, basically. You didn't see this. So, to some extent, I feel like our memories and our regard for the match are a little bit nostalgia-boosted. Not that it isn't a great match, but is it all that important in the grand scheme of things? I kind of think not really. So I'm going to go, like, 2.5. I mean, I think it's a great match that a lot of people just don't remember or don't know even exists, honest.
All right. 2.5 from Tim. Side note, WCW All Nighter covered on Jenny and the Gems. Go back and listen to it. Logan, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree with a lot of Tim's points. I'd probably go 3. On historical significance, just because, like Tim said, this isn't a match that, like, a lot of, like, the, you know, like, when you look back, like, they talk about a lot as WCW lives on. It is a great match. It deserves to be highly touted as a match. But, you know, like Tim said, it's just not one of those that they really reflect back upon as the years go on. And it's important for all the guys that are in it. All of them, or pretty much all of them, have good careers after this and have some great matches and even some great matches together. But the fact that it's not, like, that historically significant to the company themselves, and the fact that like y'all have said, the Dangerous Alliance kind of ends with a whimper. Like, this isn't the final shot. It kind of keeps going, and then it just kind of flames out at a certain point. Definitely hurts the historical nature of remembering this match. It's a great match, but I'd probably go 3 on it.
All right, 3 for Logan. I will go 4 on it. I'll dock it for a lot of the reasons you guys said. Tim, that's a great point you made about you know, WCW, like, in the NWO era, really not really acknowledging this match's existence.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, interesting.
That's an era that And that it's not like that's an era that produced a lot of great matches, but it's just a lot more talked about.
So. Right, right. That's the era that most people know.
My Skype dropped off towards the end of what I was saying. So if you didn't catch my rating, just let me know and I will repeat.
Two and a half is what I have.
Yes,
right? Yes.
Yep, that's the gist of it.
All right. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, the NWO era WCW is probably the WCW most people know and or talk about. So yeah, that's a good point. But you know, with all that said, I just think the star power in this match and the fact that the match itself is so great, I think, for me anyway, it counts for more. It helps bring this up.
Sure.
Just because it is talked about so highly, like we've been saying the entire show. It's, for most people, it's probably a top five WCW match in history. But, gentlemen, the numbers have been crunched. The show analytics have been crunched. And we have the numbers here. Shall I go through them?
So, please do it.
Wow, build ratings have averaged out to a 3.5. The match ratings have averaged out to a 4.75. And the historical significance ratings has averaged out to a 3.5, which gives a rating of 3.91.
Wow.
Now, I do not recall if Sean Kidd rounded on episode one, but if we use the rounding method, it would be a pedestal match. If we do not use the rounding method, it will just miss the cut. So we will have to consult with one Mr. Sean Kidd on this match and report back, but 3.9, it is very close. So on my notes, I will write down pedestal ? If everybody
that would be a shocker. That would be a shocker, sure, if it doesn't get in. Yeah.
Sure has to break the tie.
Yes, Sean, because I seem to remember Sean maybe rounding on episode one. I do not recall. So we will have to consult with him. We will have to consult with the Seanalytics expert is what I am getting at. So and we will report back on episode five as to whether or not War Games 92 belongs on the pedestal. It should. But anyway.
I do. Yeah. I mean, again, not my favorite match in the world, not even my favorite WCW match, but does feel wrong for it not to be at least in the, you know, on the pedestal.
I mean, Tim, I can bump your grade up to a 3 and that would solve the problem. I'm just saying. Even 2.75 would solve the problem. I think
I'm gonna leave it alone because I like the controversy.
There you go. Embrace the controversy. I like it.
I really do think it's a match that's carried on the world. Hey,
feel how you feel. I'm not gonna force anybody to change their opinion on that. It is what it is. Your opinion is your opinion, and opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
I think these WCW matches are going to have an uphill battle, quite frankly.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, especially with modern scrutiny, especially historically, you know. But, yeah.
Yes.
So we will consult the king of the Seanalytics, Sean Kidd, and see what he wants to do as he has final say on all of these matters. But
that book is being passed beautifully.
Yes. I'm a master at passing the buck. But that will wrap up our episode here this evening. But before we go, let's go around the horn here for some plugs. Let's start with Logan.
All right. Once this podcast comes out, Highway to the Impact Zone will likely either be about to come back or be on the way of coming back. We'll probably record around the time this comes out. So we're going to have a little bit new format. We'll get into that once we start back up. But it will definitely be coming back. Chicken salad, popcorn chicken salad, from Square Circle to Silver Screen, Cronoso, all that kind of stuff. Listen to all the feeds, all the quadrupods, all great stuff, all great people. So just check everything out.
Of course, Highway to the Impact Zone is coming back. I didn't come this far to not see Jeff Jarrett get his ass handed to him. But
Ben, we're almost there.
Ben, what do you got?
Joe is coming. Joe's coming. Joe's coming. So I have got, as well as the chicken salad and the popcorn chicken salad that Luke has mentioned, I'm also on one third of the special relations on the wrestling feed. You can catch me as well on the Twitter machine at BenL1981.
All right, very good, Ben. And let's go to Tim to wrap us up. What do you got?
Well, far be it from our listeners to think that I'm some Johnny come lately, ham and egger, WCW hater. Far from it. I love WCW, and you can find more WCW love on Talking WCW with me, Jennifer Smith, and Greg Phillips. It's a monthly podcast looking at a WCW wrestler or concept or team or match type or whatever we feel like, because we're talking WCW every single month here on Place to Be Nation Wrestling. So subscribe today if you're not subscribed already. The other wrestling podcast I do over here, it's PTB NXT. That is with Jenny Smith and Jacob Williams. You know what? Coming up on where we are now at this point in our NXT chronology, starting the year 2015, I guess you could also say Joe is coming. Joe is coming. Mm. Joe is coming. So, yeah, check that out if you're an NXT fan. Subscribe to all of the great podcasts associated with Place to Be Nation. Again, this podcast, Place to Be Nation Wrestling, also the Place to Be Nation Pop Experience, North-South Connection podcast for lots of other great wrestling content, and the Jenny Position, curated by our good friend Jennifer Smith, with lots of cool pop culture stuff. So yeah, get on all that today if you like what you're hearing. And you can find me on social media. I am at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-68 on Twitter.
All right, very good. Yes, definitely subscribe to each and every one of the four podcast feeds that make up the Quad of Pods. A lot of great people doing great work on all of those, so definitely check all that out. You can find me on YouTube Roulette, the aforementioned Highway to the Impact Zone. You can find me on the Extreme Three-Way Dance on the No So feed, and my show Piece of the Action over on the PTBN Pop feed. And if you enjoy my special brand of nonsense and insanity, you can find me on Twitter at MSousa1991. So, gentlemen, I think this episode is going to ruffle a few feathers, which I for one am quite looking forward to. I don't know about you guys, but that'll wrap us up here for episode 4 of PTBN Pedestal. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time for episode number 5. Shadows of hair, barely clearing the roof, get to know.